of old, now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And reading from verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the morning rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. And Job 29, hold your finger in Deuteronomy because we'll come back to that. Job 29, verse 23. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. And Deuteronomy 11, verse 14. That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we've read several scriptures, Lord, knowing that that would fulfill the service, but coming to thee in prayer, Father, we ask that you would bless the word which we have read, bless the words of your prophet which we shall read, where he speaks of the latter rain. And Father, we just ask that you would give us wisdom and understanding concerning the former and the latter rain, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, we also ask that you would help us to, in that understanding, Lord, to be able to see how it has affected us in this hour, how it shall affect us to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're getting closer to the end of this sermon of Brother Branham's, the Spoken Word's Original Seed. And I'd like to continue in that study this morning. This will be number 260 in our series. And we're going to be reading from paragraph 193 of part 2, the evening service, where Brother Branham says, as the end time prophecies will repeat, I believe, as the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, Behold the Lamb of God, the second forerunner will probably do the same by pointing the people to the word-born bride. The bride of Christ will be pointed to the sky at the appearing of Jesus, screaming, Behold the Lamb of God, will come forth from his lips. God help us to be ready for this near event. He goes on to say, "Now I better leave it from here, from right here. Do you believe? Why has this been? Have you a better understanding now? Is the word, friends? It's the word, friends. This has been about 6 hours, right close to it, five and a half or 6 hours. There's much more could be said, but surely the Holy Spirit by this time has sunk it so deep in you that you know what I'm talking about." We're at the end time. The seeds are sowed now. The latter rain is fixing to come forth. Remember, there will be such a denominational gathering pretty soon. It'll be terrific. And they will bring themselves together into this federation of churches, and then this kind of church will be put out of operation, as far as they know. It's at that time that Jesus will appear and will show which is bride and which is not. Now, notice here that Brother Branham speaks of the former rain and the latter rain. Well, he says the seed has been sown. That's what takes place in the former rain, because the former rain is the teaching rain. So we're going to look at and kind of define what these are this morning. Now, from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, we've had a revival. Joel said, and we fuss so much about the latter rain, had movements called the latter rain, former rain, inner rain, outer rain. I was reading the other day, do you know what former rain means in the Hebrew? I can't call it right now. I never wrote it down. It skipped my mind. But former rain, the first rain, it means a rain of teaching. The second rain is the spirit that comes upon what's been taught, and it produces a crop. So you see, the two rains are very essential in this end time events. The former rain is the teaching rain. And remember, God said his rain, the rain is his doctrine. In Deuteronomy 32 and 1, we read, Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So when we see former rain, latter rain, and we understand that rain in God's terminology is doctrine, then we have a former doctrine, latter doctrine. But it's not a different doctrine. It's not a different doctrine. It's the same doctrine being taught. It's the same H2O comes in the spring, comes in the fall. You see, the same H2O that comes, you know, right after the planting is the same H2O that comes right before the last kind of push to bring everything to maturity. So, therefore, it's the same doctrine. Now, from the end time seed sign, Brother Branham said, they've been talking so much about latter rain, not discarding you latter rain brethren, but that's not latter rain. If the latter rain would have been here, the power of God would have struck that thing and she'd have swept the world. The latter rain's fixing to come. And what's the matter? The church is manufacturing herself something just like Eve tried to do. to try to have more light to manufacture something, and we've done the same thing, trying to make something in ourselves. Keep your hands off of it. Let God do it. Take His word and believe it. Hold it in your heart, and when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold and the word will manifest itself. You see, we've been teaching on the spirit of adoption, but it's not that you're going to make yourself adoptable. God ordained for you to be adoptable. He ordained before the foundations of the world that you be adoptable. So he's, as Brother Bram said, keep your hands off it. In other words, get like Jesus was. I can do nothing, see nothing, speak nothing but what the Father shows me to do. And that's a problem we have in studying these two reigns, because as soon as you mention the latter reign, automatically, because of that, the fanaticism that took place when the group of Pentecostals tried to bring on the latter reign, and they tried to emulate Brother Branham in the gifts because they didn't understand the Word of God for the day that they lived. You see, the Scripture said that He would come in power, great power and glory. Is that right? So the power, which was the miracle-working dunamis, that's what they thought the latter rain would be. No, the latter rain is glory. You see? Now look, Brother Branham came teaching. They didn't want the teaching. The power, the power and dunamis and doxa. All right? So the dunamis is the power. The doxa is the very mind of God, the values, the opinion, the judgment of God. Now, God used the dunamis, the power, to back up the doxa, to show that the man truly had the doxa. You understand? So it wasn't, but what it was is they were so fixated on the supernatural that they wanted to emulate that, and so they started a organization called the Latter Rain. And they say, well, Brother Branham was the first one, and now that you kind of changed your name because it fell apart, went into fanaticism, so they changed it to the Third Wave movement. Well, now you've got even worse fanaticism because you've got a guy out there who claims to be, you know, kind of leading this whole thing. I don't even know what his name is, but he looks like a snake. I mean, his body is so full of tattoos, and he claims that this female angel comes to him and gives him, you know, words of wisdom and whatever. And I've seen the guy, you know, perform, and it's just a total fraud, total farce. He does the same old thing, hits people on the head, and they get slayed in the spirit, all this other garbage that goes along with, the fanaticism and Pentecostalism today. But see, their focus was wrong. They were focusing on, like Brother Bosworth said, now, look, he said, the miracles and the supernatural, that's like the wrappings on the loaf. But he said, you don't eat the wrappings. You're supposed to eat the bread of life. You understand? And so when Brother Brown came with the bread of life, they didn't want it. Just like when Jesus came with the bread of life, they wanted the miracles, but they didn't want that bread. They wanted the bread that you could physically eat, but they didn't want the teaching. You see, it's always been the teaching that's been refused. And so we're looking at rain. We're looking at former rain, former teaching. Latter rain, latter teaching. It's got to be the same because it says they both come together in the first. You see? Well, all right. Now, they thought that the latter rain would be the supernatural feats like jumping over buildings and things. Now, listen, that's not latter rain. That's Hollywood. That's actually Chinese movies brought to Hollywood. You know, they can run up trees, run up buildings, and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what the Pentecostal latter rain movement thought that they would come to. Like they were all Superman or something, jumping over buildings faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. You know, able to leap what, tall buildings in a single bound. No, that's not it. It's humbling yourself down, becoming servants, becoming sons, obedient sons. You see? When the seed is sown, the rain waters that seed, and when it comes up into manifestation, ready for harvest, there is another rain that gets it ready for the harvest. And that is what Brother Bram says will be a move of the Spirit that will water the crop and make it ready for the harvest. A husbandman is one whose occupation is husbandry, with which the act or practice of cultivating crops and breeding and raising livestock or agriculture. And we're told in the Scripture that we should be expecting the husbandryman or the husbandman. In James 5, verse 7, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming," that word is parousia, which is presence, "unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Now notice the husbandman or the son of man that went forth sowing is also the same one who does the tilling and the weeding. That's what Paul says in Romans 4:21. He says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So we see then, it will be the work of the Holy Spirit that will perform this thing in you. In fact, that's exactly what Paul says in Philippians 1:6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So who's performing it? He's performing it. In Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So if God wasn't in you working his will, you wouldn't have a will to do it. So just the very fact that, you know, you've turned over your will to his will, is that's very significant. Now, Brother Branham said that they which expect it are the ones who receive the promise. From leading of the Spirit, he said, expectations, if you're expecting it, you'll receive it. You usually get what you expect to get. If you come to the meeting tonight expecting to find something to criticize in the meeting, the devil will show you. He will see that you get satisfied. You get what you expect. If you come to get a blessing, God will see that you get it. If you come to be saved, God will see that you get it. If you come to be healed, he's expecting to be expecting to get healed. God will see that you get it. It's what you expect from him. That's what he will do. So see, in the last days, we expect there to be an elect group of adoptable sons and daughters of God, because God said in the Word that there would be so. In Ephesians 1, Romans 8, Galatians 4, etc. And if you're expecting it, then you'll get what you expect. It's not that any of us can add in our own selves or in our own way become what we're not ordained to become. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said, when I would to do good, why is there evil present with me? You see, it's not he that willeth or he that runneth or he that, you know, it's God that showeth mercy. In Romans 7:14, Paul says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, you ever do that? You do that, you do what you would not, you say what you would not. The very first minute that you think, hey, you're finally getting there, you're finally getting to be mature, what happens? Your mouth opens up, your tongue rolls out, and out of it comes things that you regret saying or doing. Why? To get us humble. Because when you're humble, God can deal with you. When you're not, God cannot deal with you. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that do with it, but sin, that's unbelief, that dwelleth in me. And John said, he that doesn't believe that he has, or he that says he has no sin, only deceives himself. You only deceive yourself. You don't deceive your wife, you don't deceive your husband. They see your sin, but you know what? You see theirs also. And that's the problem. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Isn't that our trouble? How do we perform that which is good? Well, because you're not supposed to perform it. Didn't the scripture say that he that began the good work in you, he will perform it? Give him the opportunity and it'll come. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I seem always to be doing. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do with it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would to do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the Lord, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Why is it that every time you could go a few days, maybe a few hours, maybe even a week, maybe two, and it seemed like you've got great victory, and then slam, there it is. Because there is no perfection this side of the resurrection. As long as you're in this compromised body, You've got the poles and the deceit of the flesh. And Paul said, who can deliver me from the body, this body, the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ who giveth me the victory. Martin Luther, in his preface to the book of Romans, he said, God judges according to what is at the bottom of the heart. And for this reason, his law makes his demands on the innermost heart and cannot be satisfied with works, but rather punishes works that are done otherwise than from the bottom of the heart, as hypocrisy and lies. The law, therefore, is spiritual. That's what Paul said, the law is spiritual. For if the law were made for the body, now here's the thing you need to hold on to. If the law were made for the body, it could be satisfied with works. But since it is spiritual, no one can satisfy it unless all that you do is done from the bottom of the heart. But such a heart is given only by God's Spirit, who makes a man equal to the law, so that he acquires a desire for the law in his heart, and henceforth does nothing out of fear or compulsion, but everything out of a willing heart. Now, you might have conquered fear, but what about compulsive? Open mouth, insert foot. Huh? But everything out of the willing heart. That law then is spiritual, which will be loved and fulfilled with such a spiritual heart and require such a spirit. Where that spirit is not in the heart, there is sin remains, and displeasure with the law and enmity toward it, though the law is good and just and holy. And that is why Paul taught us that we could never even understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in us. And why is he talking about the bottom of the heart and not the mind? Because the bottom of the heart, that's where God pulls your string. That's where he tugs on you. That's where you feel that remorse. You don't feel the remorse up here when you do something. You feel it in here. Oh man, I did it again. That's why Jesus says 70 times 7. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, Paul says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deeper things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now I'm getting back to James 5 and verse 7. It says, Be patient therefore, brethren. Well, patience, you know, is a sign of full maturity. Our lack of patience is a sign that we're not there yet. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming, the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Now notice the one who comes as judge, he stands at the door knocking, is also the husbandman. Now listen, he's knocking at the door. How long has he been doing it? I think since at least 65. He's been knocking at the door since 65. You say, have patience, have patience. He's been knocking since 1965. It's not impatient for him to knock. Because he's waiting. Notice the one who comes as judge and stands at the door knocking is called the husbandman. That's the guy who prunes back the plant to help it and produce a better fruit crop. And it says at the time of the parousia of Christ, he will have long patience to wait for the fruits of the earth that will be produced by the former rain, that's the teaching rain, and the latter rain, which is the harvest rain, coming together at the same season, at the first. Now, never forget that in Deuteronomy 32 and 1, the rain God sends is his doctrine. So there is to be fruit from that teaching rain, and that fruit is to be watered by another move of the Spirit to produce a fruit, which move of the Spirit is called the latter rain. And since the rain is the doctrine of God, or the doctrine of Christ, as the Scripture calls it, then it will be the word taught or sowed that comes forth in maturity and in manifestation. And at the time that it is to come forth to manifest God, it will water it once more to help it along. In other words, you have the first rain after the sowing, then it helps it to get started. You know, he which began the good work shall perform it, shall get a start. Then you have the latter rain, which is a rain right before the harvest. And that's to bring it to maturity manifestation. And at the time that is to come forth to manifest God, the will of God, God will water it once more to help it along. But it is not two different doctrines, or former doctrines and latter doctrines, for rain is rain. H2O is H2O. You see, there's no difference in the makeup of the rain that comes in the early rain, the latter rain. One's not colder than the other. One's not, you know, one's not made of something different. One's not made of, say, water, and the other one's made of hydrogen peroxide or something that has, you know, two H's and two O's. You know, the doctrine taught and sowed in the former rain, and the doctrine that waters in the latter rain are the same. It's the same doctrine. And remember, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and truth." So the word or spirit waters the seed, bringing it into maturity. And since that is the role of the fivefold, to bring the seed children to maturity, then the manifestation of the Spirit is slightly different from the one who sowed it to begin with. So we had a prophet come forth who was not a fivefold minister. He sowed the seed. That was the former rain, the teaching rain. But then after the teaching rain, there's a period of time that it's starting to grow. And what brings it to growth? It's a fivefold ministry, because that's exactly what the fivefold ministry is to do. For the Son of Man came forth sowing. So we see that God, in the role of prophet, brought forth the first rain to sow the word. But the second sweep of the Spirit, or rain, comes via the fivefold ministry, because that's their role, to bring the church to maturity, which is ready for the harvest. In Zechariah 10 and verse 1, he says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain," that's doctrine, "in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass of the field." And as Brother Brown taught us in the Seven Church Age book, he said, God isn't going to plant a new church, but is going to bring his original planting back to original seed. He is doing it, as stated in verse 23, by the teaching or former rain. Next will come the harvest rain, or the rapturing rain, or rapturing faith. Now, this is what we see in Joel 2:23. In fact, you could almost, in a kind of a sense, say, well, that's kind of, a return ministry or a return rain. You know, it's we don't use those terms, but it's actually a new ministry or a new reign. But anyway, this is also what we see in Joel 2:23. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion." And remember, every time the word Zion is used, Brother Bram says that refers to the bride. "So be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately." See, they're still children. He's given them the former rain moderately. "And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month." And from his sermon, Future Home, Brother Branham said, when the scripture speaks of the daughters of Zion, then he says, remember, that's always the bride. So he's talking about the bride, and he calls them here in Joel 2:23, "Be glad then, ye children, for God has given you the former rain, and he will surely give you the latter rain also." So we need that latter rain then to bring us up, to raise us up. So Joel is speaking of the children of Zion, or bride children, that will come to maturity at the time of the harvest rain, which according to the Apostle Paul will be the role of the fivefold ministry, in a way that they bring the word, the Spirit, that will water the seed that was sown in the former rain, the teaching rain. Now Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints." That means the finishing off, or the equipping of the saints, which means the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. That means the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure, the metron, the limited portion of the stature, the maturity, of the fulfilling of Christ. That word metron also means a standard. In other words, Christ is the pattern. And that's why he says that until we all come in the unity of the faith, because there's only one Lord, one faith. And he says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How can you come to maturity without recognizing that Jesus Christ was a man? He was a son. And yet the Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He says that we henceforth be no more children. You see, it's all about coming to maturity. So that we be not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So this role of the fivefold under the direction of the leadership of the Holy Spirit is to bring the doctrine, the reign to the people in such a way that they will come to maturity, that limited portion of the stature, of the full stature of Christ. In Jeremiah 3:3 we read, "Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's head, thou refusest to be ashamed." So you see, during the church ages, when the church went to whoring and denominated itself here and there, the rain, the latter rain, was withheld. But at the very end time, there's to be a bride, a spot without spot or wrinkle. You know, Proverbs 16 and 15 says, "In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain." God's favor, that's his delight, his pleasure, is as a cloud or witness to the latter rain. That is why we should he would not have us to be children any longer. He wants us to grow up. In fact, Ephesians 1 and verse 5, Paul tells us, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will." So that is the same thing as we see in Proverbs that we just read, where it says, "In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor, his good pleasure, is as the cloud of the latter rain." It's God's good pleasure to bring forth that maturing rain. All we have to do is just lay in the presence of the Son and ripen. Now, it's interesting to note that in this sermon, the spoken word's original seed, Brother Branham speaks quite a few times about the latter rain in connection with the predestinated seed of God growing up. From paragraph 186, he says, "Then in the latter rain there will come forth a Mount Carmel showdown, Bible fulfilled to the letter, John the Baptist, his messenger before his face in Malachi 3, planted a former rain and was rejected by the churches, the denominations, the Pharisees and Sadducees in his day. Jesus came and had the Mount Transfiguration showdown. This forerunner of the last days will sow for the former rain." So this forerunner of the last days will sow for the former rain. Jesus will be the showdown between denomination and creeds, which is his word. When he comes, the showdown, the rapture of his bride. The first was Mount Carmel, the second was Mount Transfiguration, and the third will be Mount Zion. Glory, he says. Again, from Spoken Word's original seed, paragraph 6 in the evening service, he says, "Someone asked me to repeat that Hebrew word again in Joel, the second chapter, Joel 2:28. When he speaks of the coming of the former and latter rain, the word former is the Hebrew word M-O-U-R-E-H, mora, which means teaching. In other words, it'll be a teaching rain and a harvest rain. Now, we've had the teaching rain, and we're ready now for the harvest rain. So as of this time, 1962, we didn't have the harvest rain yet. Notice, same doctrine, but different purposes. One plants the seed, the other matures the seed. Then he goes on to say, you know, the first rain is when you plant the seed. That starts your crop growing. Then just before it matures, there comes another crop. That's what they call the harvest rain. We know when it is the spring rains, and then the rains about June, it makes your crop. And again, from the spoken word, paragraph 177, he's in the morning service, he said, "Gracious Heavenly Father, we're not trying to bring the meeting to a close, but just a halt for a little rest for a few moments. And now, may these seeds that's been sown this morning, may they fall onto good, fertile ground. May they bring forth abundance, Lord, abundance of eternal life. Now we pray, Father, that these seeds that's sown will be laying, waiting for the latter rain to fall." Waiting. "They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. God, may we not run ahead of the word, but may we stay with the word. Grant it, Lord. Bless us now, and those who go off to eat, I pray that you'll give them their lunches and bless their food and give them strength and bring them back this afternoon real early. Lord, may they be sitting in the temple here waiting, and may you help us as I go to pray and come back. I pray that you'll freshly anoint me this afternoon. Grant it, Lord, that I might bring what I believe to be your word to the people. Grant it, Father." And so again, from paragraph 179 of the morning service, says, "Father, may the people see it and be obedient to water baptism for the remission of their sins. And may these few words for baptism fall deeply now in the heart of everyone. For we don't know how much longer we have, Father. It's getting very close. The enemy, as we expect to speak on this afternoon, is growing deeper, more bolder all the time. Since they've took the throne, they're moving right on in. Lord, we see it on every hand. Not communism, Lord. May the people be able to understand that it's Romanism, the old mother whore and her harlots. And we see them, Lord, coming in an image unto the beast, and here we are. Father, Father God, be merciful now, and let us all get into the ark, and be ready for the latter rain. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen." And from the spoken word's original seed, 163 says, "And now, what they're trying to do, they're trying to manufacture a latter rain." That's nonsense. Why? That latter rain will sweep the world, brother, and then a former rain sowing the word. That's right. Now, you'll see what the latter rain produces. You'll find out there will be an affiliation. The Pentecostals and all the groups will come together, and they'll shut the doors on them guys that won't listen to it, and you won't even be allowed to open your mouth. That's right. That's when he will come. That's when he will show. That's when you'll see a rain. Oh, my. Lay still. Be quiet. Let it go. See? I believe that's what we're seeing now. All over the world, the reign of God bringing the church to maturity by laying in the presence of the knowledge of the Son of God to ripen, as Paul said, was essential for the maturing to take place in Ephesians 6. And from Spoken Word's original seed, paragraph 145, Paul says, Mora, the reign, former reign, planting reign, has went forth. Now, what happened? The former reign was being planted, the latter rain fell. What happened? Sodom and its sodomites burned. Abraham received the promised son. Jesus said, let them grow together. The tares shall be bound, burned, and bundled and burned. The garner, the wheat will go to the garner. See, the latter rain's just at hand. We're going to get, I don't want to wait too long on that, because I got something real good back here on that. I know, see. So you see, there's at least a half a dozen, maybe eight times during this same sermon, Brother Branham makes reference to this latter rain. Again, from paragraph 140, says the latter rain is fixing to fall. You've hold that seed in there long enough now on believing, and you're looking for a coming son, and he's coming. Amen. That's the real church today. See, that elected seed. You've been looking for him, and I'm going to send him to you. What said that? The word. And from, again, paragraph 134, says, now watch. Now remember the word Mora, M-O-U-R-E-H, Mora. It means teaching, the former rain. It says the Mora rain, the teaching rain went forth. Billy Graham has struck the world. The Pentecostal struck the world. The word has struck the world. Now, what's the matter now? She's now waiting for the latter rain. That's when she'll produce her fruits. Oh, I hope you get it. And then paragraph 135 says, then the kind of seed that you have planted in your field will be the kind of crop you will reap. Brother Brown didn't come with fanaticism, but now some of the others did, and their people are reaping fanaticism. You see, Brother Brown came showing us, and through the teaching, the character of the obedient Son of God, and how he waited on God for all things. That's what we need to be. You see, because that seed that he brought, he sowed, he planted, is what will come up in us as well. If you're looking for it. See, then the kind of seed you have planted in your field will be the kind of crop that you will reap. If the denominations want more members, that's what they're going to get. That's what they've gotten. The Pentecostal wants more Pentecostals, that's what they're going to get. That's right. But the Word's going to produce sons and daughters of God. That's coming too. Watch. Look at that great latter rain supposed to be done, how that they would run over the wall and leap over, and how that they'd be an army coming. Just wait a minute, The kind of crop you'll get is the kind of seed you put in your field. And so the fanaticism that they taught in the 50s and 60s and 70s has fully gone full time. I mean, you've got all the fanaticism out there now, just all kinds of things taking place. But there's also another seed, the Word, that was planted. And it was planted in a vessel, through a vessel, that was a yielded Son of God. It's going to produce, as Brother Brown said, sons and daughters of God. He said it's going to produce. It hadn't at the time yet, you see. It's going to. When? When that latter rain, when that sweep of the Holy Spirit begins to bring forth that doctrine again. From Spoken Word's original seed, paragraph 131, now we're hearing so much, and so much organizations and everything else talk about we're in the latter rain. Nonsense, no such a thing. Now notice it says that as they're looking for it to be all full of super-duper supernatural feats and all of that, he says that's nonsense. The seed you plant is a seed that you will reap. So the teaching or planting rain places a certain type of seed in the earth, and it will be sons and daughters of God. And so then when the latter rain comes, it will produce fully mature sons and daughters of God. And from paragraph 90, he says, what is it? Same seed. How can you plant wheat here and wheat there and say, I'm going to get cucumbers here and wheat over here? You can't do it. The only way that you're going to get cucumbers is plant cucumbers. If you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. See, you've got to say it isn't neither one. It isn't cucumber nor wheat you bred it with. It's a crossbreed, and it's a bad product, and it's dead to itself, and it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there. Back won't go no further. That finishes it all. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber, and if you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it, and then if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. See, then now, where's your latter rain coming up at? You see where that's going to be after a while, don't you? Going over with them wild gourds that Elijah got and thought that they were gourds, and them school of prophets up there that denominated what they had, and they gathered some wild gourds and thought they were peas. Oh, well. In other words, you know, they with their latter rain thoughts. They had these big old gourds. They thought they were peas. Why? Everything was super duper. You know? Brother Branham said it was just wild gourds full of poison. So you see, Brother Branham is emphasizing that the seed planted in the mora, or teaching rain, is the same seed that will rise up in the harvest rain. But being that it is a harvest rain, that means that the plant will come to maturity and ready for harvest. In closing, let me just read a closing prayer from Brother Branham's sermon, Uncertain Sound, where he said, "Thou art here today," he's speaking to the Father, says, "Thou art here today, you're here, for the closing hour, for even greater blessings, for the former and latter rain should come together. And now, Father, if there be any uncertainty in any person's experience in this room, I pray, Father, at this hour, they'll confine their faith not to their mental way of thinking, not to reasoning after men's doctrine, but to believing of God's word to everlasting life. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name, thy Son. Amen." And what we see by the teaching rain and the harvest rain coming together is that the word and the word expressed or manifested becomes the same thing. In closing, let me read John 14 and 20. He says, "At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." And John 17, 21 says, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me," that's the values that you've given me, the opinion, Father, that you've given me, the judgments that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And from Show Us the Father, he said, "Now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible says so, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him." Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. It says here, he said, "I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me." He said, "When you see me, you see my Father." In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works, he was a son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See, well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, "When you see me, you see the Father." And why do you say, "Show us the Father"? So what we're looking at is this teaching rain, the latter rain, it's got to come together. The life that we saw in William Branham should be the life that we're seeing in the sons, other sons and daughters of God. You see? Again, from his sermon, he swore by himself. He said, "I and my Father are one. My Father is in me." He said, "Show us the Father," Philip said. Show us the Father and it'll satisfy," said Philip. "I've been so long with you and you don't know me." He said, "When you see me, you see my Father." And why say, show me the Father? "I and my Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that doeth the works, it's him that dwells in me that does the works. Oh my, how could I tell a man that was wrong with him? How could I tell him his future would be in 10 years or what he was 40 years ago? It isn't me. Hallelujah, it's him that lives in me, that come down, that through his blood brought me in fellowship with him. Hallelujah. How could my hands do anything by healing the sick? It hasn't got a bit of power. It's not me, but it's him that dwells in me that does it." And from conference with God, he said, when he said, "It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father, he dwelleth in me. Me and my Father are one, I and my Father are one, my Father dwells in me." And he did the same works that he did when he dwelt in that body, standing there before Abraham. So you see, it's the same nature, it's got to come down. Same seed coming down all the way. "As I was with Moses," said, when Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father, and in him dwelled all the richness of God dwelling in him here. Looking up, and he said, "I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me," just as Jehovah, just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was expressing image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put in a human body. And he said, "It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works." Just as several more will be closed. from the message gifts. He said, now in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He had all the Spirit of God in him. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. That's the reason the people couldn't understand him. Sometimes he'd say something, might look like he'd turn around and say something different. It was him speaking, then the Father speaking. See, they were, and even the disciples could not understand him. And right at the last day, they said, lo, now thou speakest plainly. Now we believe that this is, now we believe this, if you know all things, no man needs to teach you. And Jesus said, do you now believe? After all that time, they couldn't get it. See why? That sometimes he say this and then say that. It was him and the Father speaking. Now notice closely, now God dwelling in Christ used his voice to speak by. Jesus said in his miracle, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doeth, that the Son doeth likewise. Is that right? St. John 5:19. Then he did not do nothing within himself. No prophet ever did anything within himself until first God showed him what to do. What a mistake Moses made when he went out with a vision of God and smote down the Egyptians, thought he'd liberate them with his hands because he thought that he had a lot of faith and he could do it because he was called to the job. No matter how much you're called for the job, God has to do the leading. See, he failed of all of his schooling and his military mind and his training as a great Egyptian leader, but yet it failed. Because God had a program, and we've got to work according to God's program. No matter what we do, how smart we are, we've got to humble ourselves and work according to God's program. Amen. So he failed, and God had to keep him another 40 years to educate him. So what it was, that he must forget himself, and it's not him, but it was God. Now that's the thing we have to do. Brother Branham said, I'm just waiting for God. At this time when he's preaching the sermon, he said, I'm just waiting for God. He said, I've been waiting for a year. If I got to wait 2 years, 3 years, whatever it takes. The one prophet laid on his side for 3.5 years. Laying on his side, what a ministry. Imagine, you know, the wife said, you know, get up, you lazy thing. You should be out doing something. But he said, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. That's the hardest thing we can do, is to wait. Is to wait. Whether it's waiting on your wife or waiting on God. It's waiting. From Supersign, he said, when he was here on earth, he proved that he was God. Proved that God was in him. Because the signs of God followed him. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, if you don't believe me, believe the works, the sign, Emmanuel. I and my Father are one. My Father has sent me, and as he sends me, so send I you. The Father that sent me is with me. He's in me and doing the works of himself. It's God in flesh. And from Show Us the Father, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. And seeing the same results by human beings so submitted to God, until the Holy Spirit can work through these human beings, just like the Holy Spirit worked through Jesus, who just has confessed that, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. It's not my works, it's his words. See, he was so submitted to God. And then in closing, from the spoken words, original seed, Brother Branham said, why? I'm a Branham because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. Their two agreements with their sperm together made a seed, and that made me. When God and his word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when the God Spirit waters the seed of God, the word of God, it produces God. And it's not the individual, it's God. For what? You are dead, you're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. Isn't the man, it's God in the man. It's a seed germ, like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man, then it isn't the man, it's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. So if he's a son of death, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. Give over to God a minute and let him kill the devil that's in you. Run him out. Hollows you out. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more. It's God's life because it's God's word. Water by the Holy Spirit will produce the same thing. You see, I just love to preach on that a few minutes, but with 30 or 40 pages of scriptures, I've only got three or so for it. And again, from paragraph 90 of the spoken words original seed, said, what is it? It's the same seed. Can't keep them. Now, how can you plant wheat here and wheat there and say, I'm getting cucumber? I've already read this, but I want to read again because I want you to understand. Brother Brown says you can't plant a seed here and say, I'm going to plant wheat here and wheat here, and then say, well, but I'll get cucumbers over here and wheat over here. You know, the word will produce the word. Wheat will produce wheat. Cucumbers will produce cucumbers. You see? Then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. And how many times over the years I've preached the garden of your mind? What seed are you planting in your garden? Because that's what's going to come up. So if you're filling your mind with these other things and not with the Word of God, those other things will come up as well. Then you have a battle. See? Then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same seed, Word of God. God's Son was his example seed. And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of a life, doing the same thing that he did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth a Son of God seed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because we have a better understanding of the former rain, which is the teaching rain, and now the latter rain, which is the same doctrine, the same rain, but it's coming forth to bring forth maturity. And so, Father, we ask that you forgive us where we have not been mature. We pray that you'd help us to be mature, and we know that that maturity is manifested in patience, because the husbandman is patiently waiting for the fruit of the earth. And so help us, Father, we pray, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed.